we're going to pick up at verse 8 of Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. When you have it, say agape. Amen. Hear ye the word of the Lord. It says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And there's a subject this morning from this passage of scripture we want to use as a subject: saved to serve. Say saved to serve. One more time. Saved to serve. Now, this is what I need from everyone. I need everyone for just a brief moment, just to really tune in to this song, to the words of this song, because God has put it in my spirit, and God has already prepared the groundwork, even last Sunday through Pastor JD, as he shared with us on the church anniversary, as it relates to serving and what God would have us to do. Agape, God wants us to get busy for the kingdom. But I just need y'all, before I get into that, I want you all to just really tune in to this song, because I wanted to minister to you, and then we're going to go right into the word of God.
Somebody here to tell me, come on. I won't harm you with words.
wanted to play that song to set the premise for what the Lord has already put in my heart. As it relates to our church, we are so needful of one another. We are so needful of one another. And God wants to take us places that we've never been before. He's already shown himself mighty in 2 years. But I believe with every fiber of my body, we ain't seen nothing yet. We haven't seen nothing yet. And as it relates to the lesson, as it relates to what God has already put in my heart, the scripture says, for by grace, you have been saved through faith. Through faith. And now, the context of the scripture, we know that Paul is speaking to the church at Ephesus. The church at Ephesus. These are believers in Jesus Christ. Those who have already said yes to Jesus Christ. Those who are saved already. And he says, for by grace, you have been saved through faith. Amen. That not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. And the first thing that you and I have to understand as it relates to being saved, saved to serve, is we should be motivated. We should be motivated to serve because we are recipients of God's grace. Amen. You and I, those of us that have said yes to Jesus Christ, should be motivated. Say motivated. Motivated to serve because we are recipients of God's grace. And one of the main reasons I believe that Christians aren't serving the way they really should be serving is because they've forgotten that they are recipients of the grace of God. I mean, come on, let's think about it. It says, for by grace, you are saved. We are saved through faith. Grace, grace, grace. Grace is God's unmerited favor given to us. It's the acronym we often hear is God's redemption at Christ's expense. We talked about that in verses 1-7, the last time the Lord had us in this passage. Listen, it was the grace of God because we were dead in our trespasses and our sins. And it was the grace of God that saw us in our condition. We couldn't do nothing for ourselves. We couldn't do anything to lift ourselves up. But it was the grace of God that looked beyond our deadness, that looked beyond all our sinful ways, that looked beyond everything that we tried to do in life to destroy ourselves. And God's grace says, I'm going to save you. Nothing of ourselves. Nothing of ourselves. And many times we forget that. If it wasn't for the grace of God, where would we be? Where would you be right now if it wasn't for the grace of God? Think about that. Think about that. It was the grace of God. And because God was so gracious, lavishing us with his love, giving Jesus Christ as a gift of eternal life, a way out of our condition, because of that, we ought to be motivated to serve him. Amen. We ought to be excited to serve him. You know, when I come on Sunday mornings, I'm excited. I don't get excited when the praise team gets up here. Amen. I don't get excited when the praise team gets up here. I'm already excited because God woke me up and gave me another day. I'm excited because God looked beyond all of my mess ups. God looked beyond everything that I've tried to do to myself. Everything that I've done to him. He looked beyond all of that and said, I'm going to still save you. That's what motivates me. That's what gets me excited about coming. The fact that Jehovah God save me through grace. Grace alone. Amen. Nothing on my part. Nothing on my part. Nothing on your part. Simply the grace of God. Grace of God. But God. I mean, come on now. But God. That ought to be enough to say, God, whatever you want me to do, here I am. Here I am. Listen. I know that I owe God. And if you are saved, you owe him too. And the thing about it, you can never pay him back. But the least we can do is say, here I am, a yielded vessel. A yielded vessel. God, have your way with me. Use me however you want to use me. Time is out for the saints of God to come in church and just sit down to be entertained. I need you to survive. That's over with. That's over with. Listen, if we're going to impact this world the way God wants us to impact this world, we got to get out of those seats. Amen. There's something for everyone here. And you ought to be motivated by the mere fact that God chose to save you and save me. That should be the motivation. Now, here it is. Here's the danger that many people make. Here's the danger. Many people are trying to earn favor with God by their works. He says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, right? It's a gift of God, not of works. Not of works. And so many people are doing things in the Lord's church. They're performing acts, they're performing works, trying to have favor with God, trying to make God happy, trying to earn favor. Listen, if you're doing it that way, God is not glorified in that. He's not glorified in that. I'm going to talk about that a little bit. But many people are trying to earn favor with God. It's not of works. No, don't get that mixed up. Don't get that mixed up. No. Y'all heard it said over and over, and it may sound cliche, but it is the truth. We do not work to be saved. We work because we are saved. We work because we are saved. James said that. And he talked about that. Now here's the other side of it. We understand that salvation and grace is a gift from God, a gift of God, not a result of works. And we need to stop trying to earn favor with God, but we need to serve God simply because he's been gracious to us. Now here's the other side of it, where we talk about faith without works. James talks about that. Faith without works. Can that save a man? Well, the word save in the Bible has many different meanings. In the original language, it has many different meanings. Now, in the context of the scripture in Ephesians, when you hear the word save, that deals with salvation, rescuing us from eternal hell, from eternal punishment, delivering us from the power and the penalty of sin. That's what save means in the context of Ephesians chapter 2. Now, when James talks about faith without works, can that save a man? Can that save a man? Salvation is different, and it's not relating to salvation. What that means is if you need a job, and you praying, God, I believe you're going to give me a job. If you don't have any works, you can sit by that phone all day and all night, and you won't get a call. Because that won't save you. That won't deliver you. That won't give you a job. But one has to fill out an application. Amen. You have to activate your faith. You have to activate what you know God is able to do. You have to do your part in that regards to get a job. Are y'all with me this morning? That's two different distinctions there. Don't ever get that twisted. Man will try to, many have justified that, try to justify works, salvation by that scripture. But that's not what the Bible is saying. You cannot work to be saved. It's the sole act of God's grace. Amen. If you need a husband. Faith without works is dead. Amen. Fix yourself up a little bit. Do something. That can't save you. Have I got a witness? If you're looking for a wife, brother, fix yourself up. Amen. Fix yourself up. Buy you some new clothes. Get you some new cologne. Amen. Do something with them dogs. Or wear closed toe. That can't save you. Faith without works is dead. There are certain things that we have to do to get what it is we're trying to get. But that's two distinctions. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? Two different things. But by the fact that God has saved us, we ought to be motivated to serve him. Listen, when you are grateful and when you are excited about what God has done by way of salvation, by delivering you from the power and the penalty of sin, by not letting us go to hell. When you are genuinely appreciative of that, when you are genuinely grateful for that, nobody has to remind you of what's coming on the calendar as it relates to the church. Don't get quiet. Come on, y'all. Don't do me like that. Listen, when you are grateful for what God has done for you, you'll be at rehearsal early, on time, ready to go. You've listened to the songs. You can't wait till Johnson and them crank it up to start worshiping God. Amen. Nobody has to remind you about the next Bible study. No one has to remind you about refuel. When you are truly grateful for what God has done for you, you'll be excited. You'll be excited. Listen, Peter was excited when he got out of that boat. Huh? He was excited because he saw the master. He had his eyes on Jesus. And so he jumped out of that boat and walked on water. When you are appreciative of the grace of God, getting out of the boat don't mean nothing to you. Amen. But many are still in the boat. Now, a lot of people have gotten out of the boat. Thank God. But there's some still in the boat. Still in the boat. Still in the boat. But it goes back to, are you really grateful for what God has done? We ought to be motivated to serve God, because we're recipients of God's grace. Recipients of God's grace. Amen. Secondly, as it relates to serving, save to serve, we must remember that we are God's masterpiece and have been made to serve him. Remember that we are God's masterpiece and have been made to serve him. Remember that we are God's what? And have been to serve him. Verse 10. Look at it. Look at verse 10. It says this: for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God's masterpiece, made to serve him. Workmanship. It says we are his workmanship. Again, he's talking to believers. We are his workmanship. Now, the Greek word for workmanship is poema. Poema is where we get our English word poem. Now, the scripture is saying you and I, those of us that have trusted Jesus Christ as personal Savior, you are his poem. Now think about those. How many poets do we have in here? I know we've got some writers in here. Here we go, Sister Ari. I know Brother Jeff does poetry. There's someone in the back there. Oh, Sister CJ, poet. Hey, poets. Now, what poets do is they take what's in their mind and they write it out on paper so that you and I get a chance to read what's in their mind. Listen, he says, you are his poema, his workmanship. God, through us, has written out what was on his mind. Those of us that are in Jesus Christ, y'all, we are the mind of God. Here it is. When they read, you and I, are they reading the mind of God? That's the question. The scripture says you are his workmanship. You are his poem. We are his poem. When they look at our lives, are they reading the mind of God? Are we representing him as people look at us? As you read the poems of so many poets, you get a chance to hear what's on their mind, and we appreciate all of that. But what about our lives? What about our lives? We are his workmanship. We are the mind of God. You know, I like to say this. We are walking revelation. Y'all, that's some good stuff. We are walking revelation of the mind of Almighty God, the Creator. The Creator. Now, I'm going to tie this together. Look. We are the mind of God. But he says, created in Christ Jesus. Created in Christ Jesus. Now, this word created, many times we automatically think of creation. Creation, and it's tied to it. It is God, where God created the heavens and the earth, and we understand that. But this is not in the physical sense. This is in the spiritual sense. Created new in Christ Jesus. This means that we were made new. We were made new in Jesus Christ, not physically, but spiritually. Are y'all with me? Because of the grace of God, you and I have been made new. We've been made new. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a what? New creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now it says, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things. Y'all hear me? Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have been made new. Now, by way of salvation, by way of God's grace, those of us that are in Jesus Christ, we've been made brand new spiritually. In other words, all of those old things, bye-bye. They're gone. If any man be in Christ, so that nobody get it mixed up. If any woman be in Christ, if any child be in Christ, she is a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, God did not make a new you physical. It was spiritual. He made us new spiritually. Now, don't miss this. This is huge because this all relates to what it means, save, to serve, understanding our role and responsibilities in the body of Christ. Listen, when God made us new, your individuality, my individuality never changed. Who you are, your individuality, how God made you with all that God put inside of all of us, because we all are different. We're individuals. We're individuals, and so our individuality did not change, but we were made new spiritually. Yeah. So many people, many people have a spirit of just being let me see. There are those who have the comical individuality. Right. They're just funny people. Right. Can't help but be funny. Right. Amen. They can't help but be funny. When you see them coming, you start laughing because you know they're going to say something funny. Amen. And God, when he saved us, he didn't take that. But what we do is take that and give it back to God. And then you begin using it for God. Amen. Y'all know when we do Second Sunday selfies? Y'all know when we do Second Sunday selfies? Y'all know Sister Shirley? Sister Shirley, wave at her. Stand up, Sister Shirley. She said, I'm going to get you. You know what I love about Sister Shirley? That's her individuality. She will make you laugh. If you hang around her, you will discover that she will make you laugh. She's had me in tears. But you know what I love about it? It's in the godly context. It's in the God. Our individuality, God wants to take all of us, everything about us, and use it for his glory. Amen. When he makes us new, he takes our individuality and then he uses it to build the kingdom. See, y'all, I was a class clown in school. You know, at the pep rallies, I would get up on the podium at the pep rallies and act like a preacher. at Sam Houston High School. And I'd be at that podium and I'd be like, Sam Houston's playing Fox Tech. Yeah. And we gonna win. Have I gotta win this? And listen, the whole auditorium be laughing just like this. And I can only see God sitting back saying, oh, he just don't know. He has no idea whatsoever. And you know what? God took my individuality in the fullness of time and said, here, I want to use that for me. And listen, it doesn't stop with me. It doesn't stop with Sister Shirley. It's every one of us who are in Christ. New creature. New creature. New creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become brand new. So many people with talents and areas of giftedness. When God saves you, he don't take that away. You need to come and give that back to him. Come bring that back to him. Dancing. Thank you. I just said thank you. Dancing. I almost stopped, but God brought me. I glanced and I saw one of our worship dancers smiling, shaking that head. Listen. How many of y'all used to dance? Come on, put them hands up. Put them up. You used to dance, right? Listen, and you liked doing it, didn't you? You loved dancing. Well, when God saved you, that individuality of loving the dance, you know what he wants to do with that? Make you like David. Y'all know David danced unto the Lord? Do you not know David lost his dignity dancing unto the Lord? Amen. Come on, Jacob. Huh? That's what I'm... Listen. Now, God is good. Listen. Now, I wasn't there, but I guarantee you this man right here, at one point in time in his life, he used to dance doing some other stuff and to some other music. But right now, because of the grace of God, God get the movement in his heart. He can't sit in that seat. He got to get up and give God a praise. Y'all, can I tell y'all something? That wasn't playing. No, y'all didn't hear me this morning. That wasn't playing. Oh, when the Spirit of the Lord moves upon my heart, I'll dance like David danced. Listen, nobody has to prop you. Nobody has to pump you up. You are thankful for the grace of God. That individuality, God wants to use it. He wants to use it. We are saved to serve. And so the next time anybody says anything about praise dance, as a matter of fact, you don't even have to wait till the next time. All you got to do is come see Sister Deborah or Sister Willette and let them know, I want to dance. I want to dance. I used to dance in other places. But now I'm ready to dance for the Lord. He didn't take that from me. It's still in me. But I'm new in him now, and I want to give it to him. That's what it's about. With his workmanship made new in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. I'll never forget working in the juvenile system. God just let me come down this lane for whatever reason. So I used to work in the juvenile system, and there was a young man in our program. And these guys used to go and they work concessions at the Alamo Dome for major events. And these guys would go there, and there was an opportunity for them to make a little money while in our program in the juvenile correction system. But this one, they'd go down and they'd have to sell Cokes. They'd sell Cokes or whatever concessions that they had. But the Cokes at the Alamo Dome were a little high. Somebody know what I'm talking about? Back then, they were probably about $2 back then. I know it's changed now. But what he did, this young man, because they only made a quarter on the dollar. All they got was a quarter on the dollar. So what he decided to do, he's a juvenile in the correction system. What he decided to do was raise the price a dollar on the coat. And so he's going around and he's selling them at $3 and making a dollar for himself, plus the quarter on the dollar that he was supposed to make. And the only way we found out is that in the laundry, and he forgot, had all the money in his pocket. And they were only authorized to have $5 on them at all times. Well, we found over $80 in his pocket. $80 in his pocket. And so we knew who pants they were. He was a big guy. We knew who they were. We called him in and said, "Hey, listen, bro, listen, where'd you get this money?" I love when people just tell you the truth. He said, "Sir, y'all got me. He said, "I was selling the Cokes at $3 at the Dome, and I made extra dollar on each one of them." And so right then, you know, you got to always coach. You got to always try to teach. You got to take every opportunity to teach. I said, "Man, you wrong as wrong can be. You are as wrong could be. But God can use your mind to do business for him. God wants to use your mind." I mean, you thought of that. Most people would never think of that. But that's something you thought of. Now, if we could just take that, your individuality, and you switch that and use that for the kingdom of God. For the kingdom of God. I mean, think about that. And again, that applies to all of us that are in Christ. Say, "God, here's what I'm good at. Here's something that I enjoy doing." And you say, "Here." And allow God to use that. The body of Christ will be blessed. Amen. Body of Christ will be blessed. Listen, Paul in Galatians 1:13 says this: "For you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it." This is the Apostle Paul. Same one who wrote Ephesians. "You heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it." Galatians 1, he says this. Later on in Galatians 1, he says, "All they knew was that people were saying, 'The one who used to persecute us is now preaching the very faith he tried to destroy. And they praise God because of me.'" Now, the Apostle Paul, I mean, you know his story. He persecuted the church beyond measure. Beyond measure. But then God got a hold of him. Now, Paul was zealous. He was zealous to persecute the church. I mean, he went out of his way to persecute the church. But God says, "I can use that. Ooh, I can use that same zeal." And God got a hold of him, changed him. And then half of the New Testament has been written by the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, that zealous spirit. God wants that. God wants to use us. He wants to take all of our individuality and use it to promote the kingdom of God. Amen. But it says this: "Created in Christ Jesus for good works." Good works. Say good works. Good works is that which is honorable, that which is pleasing to God and beneficial to others. That's what he means by good works. That which is honorable, that which is pleasing to God and benefits others. Benefits others. Many of the works that we did in the past only benefited us, if the truth be told. Many of the things that we did, it was all about me. It was all about myself. It was all about what I wanted to get, what I wanted to achieve. And so we work hard to achieve whatever it is simply for ourselves. But now that we're in Christ, the works that we do now should be to the benefit of others. It's not about us. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's not about titles. It's about benefiting others, the body of believers, other people in society, benefiting. I'm talking about good works. Good works. And you have to understand this. Please don't miss me on this. See, you can be in church doing works, but they're not good works. And if it doesn't please God, it's just works. But those of us that are in Christ, we have been created new in Jesus Christ for good works, that which pleases God. And you know, it's amazing. It's amazing. I just really, really wonder how many people will stand before God. Just like the scripture says, Lord, I did this. Lord, I did that. Lord, I did this. And he's going to look at you and say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. He ascribes their works as sin. As sin. In John chapter 4, the woman at the well, when she encountered Jesus and started talking about the Samaritans and Jacob's well and all of this stuff, religious stuff, Jesus said, listen, can I tell you something? The Father is looking for those who worship in spirit and in truth. He desires those who worship in spirit and in truth. If your works are done in the flesh, they're ash pile. If you're not doing it from a heart of gratitude, from a heart of saying, you know what, I'm saved. God, you saved me. And therefore, because you saved me, I've got to give you my all. This is why I do what I do, simply because you saved me. If it's not coming from that place, it's an ash pile. It means absolutely nothing in the sight of God. Absolutely nothing in the sight of God. Good works, that which pleases God and benefits someone else. That's where it has to come from. It has to come from that place. Do you hear me this morning? The works we do must come from a heart of gratitude in order to be received by God. You know, my mother taught me to always say thank you. Mama taught me to always say thank you. Anytime somebody does something for you, say thank you. Say thank you. And how we tell God thank you for what he did for us, for his unmerited favor, for his unmerited favor and his grace toward you and I, the way we say thank you is by serving him. God, you've been so good to me. I'm going to give you my all. I'm going to serve you for good works, that which pleases you. I only want to do what pleases you, God. I only want to do what pleases you. That's what the scripture is teaching. Listen, Hebrews 9:14, because Hebrews deal with the old law and then he deals with this New Testament age. But Hebrews 9:14 says this: how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Now, under the old law, y'all know they used to kill bulls and lambs and slaughter those things and take the blood and sprinkle it on the people and sprinkle it on themselves to be right before God. The priest could not go in the presence of God until he had done those things. That's the old system. And what happened is many people are still trying to earn that favor with God by doing religious things. I mean, there are a lot of people in church who are religious. They're doing religious things. Religious things, but it means nothing to God. But what the scripture is saying, the Hebrew writer is saying, look, how much more shall the blood of Christ? How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works? Listen, when we do it out of gratitude for the blood of Jesus Christ, that's pleasing to God. Ooh, that is pleasing to Almighty God. We are saved to serve. We're saved to serve. And it has to come from that heart. Mama taught us to say thank you. The way we say thank you to God is from serving from a heart of gratitude and thanks, saying, God, what you've done for me, I know I can never repay you, but God, whatever I have, whatever breath I have, I'm giving you my all. I'm going to serve you until I die. I'm going to serve you until you call me from labor to reward. I'm not taking my hands off of the plow. I'm keeping my eyes going forward, serving you. Only what we do for Christ will last. Only what we do for Christ will last. Will last. Listen, Jesus said this in John 14. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, listen to this. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. Greater works shall he do. Now, understand that. That does not mean that you and I are going to be raising people from the dead like Jesus did. No, don't get that twisted. Not in power, but in extent. In extent. In other words, when we all do our part together, as the body of Christ, when the church of the living God gets on one accord and the people of God begin serving God with an attitude of gratitude, you all know the extent will be global. The extent will be global. That's what the scripture is teaching. And he says greater works. In other words, we'll reach further places, go deeper to places that never heard the gospel. Thank you. We've got a missionary team that's getting ready to launch out. We have a missionary team that's going to be launching out. Where y'all? Please stand. Please stand. We'll bring them up again. But I want them to stand. Elder Manuel and Sister Renee, along with Nathanael and Sterling. They're our first missionaries that's going to be launching out. They're going to be launching out. They're going to be, thank you all, they're going to be launching out from here. Greater works. Greater works than these. Greater works than these. He means by extent. And when we all get on one accord, the church of the living God is the most powerful entity on planet Earth when God's children come together. When we come together. Greater works. Listen. And we have to understand this. Galatians 5:22-25. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. In the Spirit. Now, he closes that out by saying, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God, because we've been created new in Christ Jesus, because we are his workmanship, God has already ordained that we should walk in the direction that he have us to go. In other words, God has already laid out a plan for your life and for my life as it relates to service to him. Do y'all hear that? I just got this fresh off the press. I was at Dr. Tony Evans' pastor's conference this past week. And I can't take credit for this. He said, and it was just profound. He said, God wants to experience what he already knows. He messed me up. God wants to experience what he already knows. Listen, God has already laid out the direction for your life and for my life. He wants to experience. God is waiting on you. And God is waiting on me to fulfill our calling so he can experience what he already knows. Now, here's the flip side of when he said this. He says, God, this is the one thing God couldn't do. He said God couldn't do. He can't experience what he already knows. That went right over somebody's head. God cannot experience what he already knows. I want y'all to really don't miss this. That says so much about you and me and how much he loves us and how much he has deposited in us that he can't experience what he knows. Y'all, he loves us so much that he can't experience what he already knows. He's waiting on us to give him his experience. Woo! Y'all, do y'all understand that? Do y'all really understand that? A parent. Now he's omniscient. We're not. I'm just trying to paint the picture as best I could. Many of us want the best for our children. Have I got a witness? I'll use the marriage illustration again. I can't wait to see Patrice, Alexandria, or Sydney. I can't wait to see those doors open and to see them come down that aisle with that dress on, so daddy can give them away. I, I, I look forward to the day. If the Lord will, I'm going to be so excited to do that. But I can't have that experience until Patrice, Alexandria, and Sydney pray asking God for a husband. Amen. Do everything they need to do in preparation for that day. I cannot have that experience until they do their part. When it relates to graduating from college, parents, we look forward to that day that our kids come down that aisle with that robe on, with that hat on, whether it's high school. But we cannot have that experience until they do their part. And God is saying, I want to experience what I've already ordained for you to do. And he's waiting on us. And can you imagine how excited God has to be? Oh, can you imagine how excited God has to be when we step into what he's already ordained? We're saved to serve him. Saved to serve him. This is where it is. Now, let me close it out. Finally. We are members of the body of Christ and have major roles to play in the functioning of the body. And I'm going to close out with this passage of scripture. We are members of the body of Christ and have major roles to play in the functioning of the body. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 reads as such. It says, "For even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I am not a part of the body,' it is not for this reason any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I am not a part of the body,' it is not for this reason any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as he desired. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. Shared this on Wednesday night, just speaking of spiritual gifts. Our bodies have many parts. Our bodies have over 206 bones, over 600 muscles, many parts that make up the human body. Uniquely different. Every part is uniquely different in all, and they all have their own function, their own roles in the body. Well, the same relates to the body of Christ. There are many parts in the body of Christ. Many parts in the body of Christ, and all of us that are in Jesus Christ, we make up the body of Christ. We all make up the body of Christ, and we all have a major role to play in the body of Christ. Now, here's the problem. Looking back at the physical body, at the human body, if the hand does not do what the hand is supposed to do, there's going to be a problem. Amen. Listen, and the pinky finger, if the pinky is not functioning the way the pinky finger needs to function, it's going to mess up everything else. Anybody ever heard it? Anybody ever hurt the pinky toe? Did it change things? It's small, but it messed some things up. Amen? Well, the same applies to the body of Christ. We all have a major role to play. We are all important. And so for the person who says that church isn't important, I don't have to go to church, y'all know that's a lie straight from the devil. Because, and you've got to be able to encourage people. You've got to be able to challenge people. We have to do that. When somebody says that, say, no, wait, stop. Don't say that. You need to be here. I need you. And you need me. We're all a part of God's body. Amen. Amen. And when you don't come to church, when you are not amongst us as believers, what ends up happening is that we suffer because of that. The whole body suffers because of that. And that's right then is where you need to give them that pinky illustration. Because what they've done is basically said, I'm not important. I'm not needed. But we have to encourage them and challenge them. No, you are needed. We need you. You are part of this family. And when you are not here, we suffer because of it. Please don't rob me of my blessing. That's how you got to talk to them. I talk to people like that. Why are you robbing me of my blessing? Why are you staying home? I need you. We've got to challenge people in that regard. Now, here's the other side of it. That's a detached body piece. And when they're detached, you know what happens? If this pinky is detached from my hand, it will die. And that's what happened to so many believers. They detach themselves. They detach themselves and they die. They just die in so many different ways. They're not productive. They don't produce anything. And they're dead. They're dead. But here's the other side. It can be attached. But if it's not functioning properly, it still causes problems. Y'all hear me? Hear me this morning. In other words, you can be at church, but if you're not functioning properly, it still creates an issue in the church. And we're not living at our full capacity simply because you're not functioning in your role. We all have to function. We have a major role to play. I shared this on Wednesday night. I'm gonna share this with the congregation. I wish all 500 something members were here. I really do. But y'all can spread the word. Y'all can tell the others. But we're looking at property. We're looking at property. The challenge right now is because we're young. We're just a 2-year-old church. Banks struggle with young churches. They don't want to lend. You know, they don't want to try to help out because we're such a young church. But wouldn't it be awesome? Ooh, wouldn't it be awesome if the people of God at Agape Christian Church said, you know what, Pastor, let's go around the bank. Forget the bank. Let's do our part. Pastor, I want to step up to the plate. And I want to begin honoring God. Because it's got to come from a heart of gratitude. And even when it comes to giving, serving, whatever it is, it has to come from a heart of gratitude. And what if we just get to the point where we say, you know what, I'm going to step up to the plate and say, I'm going to do my part in tithes and offering so that we don't even have to worry about a bank. We can just go to the owner and say, here it is. We're all a part of God's body. We need each other. Amen. And don't even get into serving. When we all begin serving on one accord, we ain't seen nothing yet. Y'all, I know God put that in my spirit for us. He's done great things in such a short period of time. This don't just happen in 2 years. People come in here all the time. They're like, what? I mean, honestly, they walk out there because the front is kind of deceptive because you think you're walking in, you know, a little area or whatever. And it's not about the building. But they'll come in and they'll walk. And then they come through those doors and they say, wait a minute. I didn't know all of this was in here. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to say, all the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you, oh God. Listen, it's all God. And there are people who have believed God and have stepped out on faith, trusted God. They're saved. They're willing to serve. They're willing to give. And God has done this much in a short period of time. But what about when we all come together? What about when we all come together? We'll see God do great and mighty things. We are saved to serve. Saved to serve. Say it. Again,
save to serve.
One more time,
save to serve.
Save to serve.